Thanksgiving was just around the corner. There was a Sunday school teacher who decided that it would be a good exercise to give her class a writing assignment listing all the things that they were thankful for. One student wrote, "I'm thankful for my mom and my dad, my dog, my bike, my brother, my hair," and the list went on. And when the teacher was reading through that list, she thought that that one item was actually rather interesting to add to a thankful list. And so she asked the student, "Why are you thankful for your hair?" And the student simply replied, "Well, you know, some people don't have any." Another fourth grade boy wrote, "Thanks, things I'm most thankful for," and listed at the very top of his list was "my glasses." He says, "They keep the boys from punching me and the girls from kissing me." Greg Anderson, in his book, Living Life on Purpose, tells a story about a man whose wife had left him. And this man was completely depressed. He had lost faith in himself, in other people, in God. He simply found no joy in living. And one rainy morning, this man went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. And although there were a number of people scattered throughout the diner, nobody was speaking to anyone else. You ever been in a situation like that? You walk into a restaurant and everybody is just kind of huddled around their table and there's nothing happening. It's quiet and it's kind of awkward, right? And so this miserable, depressed man hunched over the counter, stirring his coffee with a spoon. In one of the small booths along the window, there was a young mother with a little girl. They had just been served their food when this little girl broke the sad silence in this restaurant by almost shouting, "Mommy, why don't we say our prayers here?" And this waitress who had just served them their breakfast turned around and said to the little girl, "Why, sure, honey, we pray here. Will you say the prayer for us?" And then the waitress turned and she looked at the rest of the people scattered throughout this restaurant and she said, "Everybody, bow your heads." And surprisingly, one by one, the heads went down and then the little girl bowed her head and she folded her hands and she said, "God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Amen." And you know something? That prayer changed the entire atmosphere in that place. People who had been sitting there in silence now began to talk with one another. The waitress said, "We should do this every morning." And that man whose wife had left him, that man who was depressed, made this observation. He said, "All of a sudden, my whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example, I started to thank God for all I did have and stopped majoring in all that I didn't have." And he concludes by saying, "I started to be grateful." Now, I get it. We all understand and appreciate the importance of gratitude and how it can radically change relationships. In fact, probably one of the first things you were taught and that we generally try to teach our children is to express their gratitude, right? To express their thankfulness. And we try to practice with them on that one, right? Whenever an opportunity arises. How many parents here that did that with their children or tried to do that with them? Yeah, okay. You know, like when somebody gives them a gift or a treat, as parents, we'll tell them, "Now, what do you say?" And generally, the child usually learns the answer at a fairly early age, right? "Thank you" is the right answer. Reminds me of a story I heard of a pastor who was visiting some people, and on that occasion, he took his young daughter with him. They were visiting an elderly couple, and the man gave this young girl a handful of peanuts. And expecting her to show a spirit of gratitude, the father asked his daughter, "Honey, what are you supposed to say?" Sincerely, and with her eyes fixed on the man, she said, "You got any more?" Listen, we all appreciate being thanked, don't we? Yet when it comes to giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, we so miss the mark, don't we? This morning, I want to focus on a man who had figured out the importance of being thankful no matter what. In fact, this man, the man who comes to mind, and you've probably already guessed who I'm talking about, is none other than the Apostle Paul. When he wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians, because if ever there was a man who had experienced a variety of perils in his life, it was Paul. And I believe that through each one of these perils, through the troubles that he faced, often life-threatening situations, Paul endured those things and he came out on top. In fact, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want to invite you to turn to a rather fitting and familiar passage of Scripture that really suits this Thanksgiving Sunday. It's a passage found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and just one verse, verse 18. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In other words, what Paul is saying here is, look, be cheerful no matter what. Paul says, pray all the time. Go back one verse, look at verse 17. In verse 17, we read about that. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. Why? Well, because this is the way God wants you and I to live if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my first reaction when I read these verses is, wow, that's a tall order, don't you think? Now, for just a few minutes this morning, I want to take a closer look at Paul's life. I want to take a closer look at Paul's incentive. I really want to take a closer look at Paul's motivation here. And what I want to do, first of all, is look at what Paul did not thank God for. Call it maybe a negative approach if you want, but this is what it is. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul did not thank God for the possession of material abundance, okay? Paul did not thank God for the fact that he had a whole bunch of material things. By the way, in case you haven't figured it out yet, Paul was never in a situation, in a position where he had it all together, okay? Paul was never in a place in life where he had a little something laid aside in case of an emergency. That wasn't Paul. Paul was never in a place where he could rely on himself, where he could rely on his own means. No, he lived out each day totally dependent on God. And that's why he could say in Philippians chapter 4, in another passage, in another letter he wrote, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now, when you think about those verses and you contemplate them for a moment, it's an amazing testimony, isn't it? I mean, that would be like saying, you know, I really don't have a sense of needing anything personally. And I wonder, when is the last time you had a chance to say that? You know, I'm just happy with little as I am with much as I am with little. I mean, think about it. When is the last time words like that slip past your lips? And then Paul goes on to say, hey, I've learned the secret. I finally figured this out. I found the recipe for being happy. Whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You know something? It's no secret, but we've got it made, don't we? Think about it. We really do. In fact, we've got it all. And because we've got so much, we sadly often want even more, right? And in that situation, it's pretty easy to say, thank you, God, for giving me so much. Thank you, God, for the affluence. Thank you, God, for all the things I have. So first of all, Paul did not thank God for the possession of material abundance. Second, Paul did not thank God for an easy time. Paul did not thank God for an easy life. In fact, we find out in a hurry as we follow Paul's life, as we scrutinize some of the things that he faced. One of the things we know and we recognize and we read about is that he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, I'm not talking a literal thorn in the flesh, but there was something that was making life difficult for Paul. This, whatever it was causing Paul a lot of grief. This was a constant daily irritation. We read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 7 through 10, where Paul says, just so I wouldn't get a big head, just so that I wouldn't get stuck up, I was given a gift of a handicap. Okay? Now you might be thinking, are you kidding me? That sounds so unreasonable. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God even do that? Was it so that Paul would stumble through life? Was it so that Paul would not be as effective? Was it so that Paul would be an easy target? No. In fact, flip over to the passage. Take a moment. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bible, and look at verse 7. Because this is what Paul says. I was given the gift of a handicap. I was given this thorn in the flesh. This is what Paul says. To keep me in constant touch, or to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. To keep me from becoming conceited. Satan's angels did his best to get me down, but what he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. That way there was no danger for me to walk around high and mighty. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 8, oh, and by the way, just so you know, look at verse 8, Paul says, now, at first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Question, did Paul have an easy life? Let me try to put it into perspective for you. Because whatever else you might think, I can assure you that Paul did not have an easy life. By the way, that thorn in the flesh was not the only thing that he had to deal with as a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, whenever I read through Paul's amazing contribution in the New Testament, I am reminded over and over of the numerous adverse experiences that he had. Paul knew the bitterness of persecution. We read about the fact that he was stoned at Lystra. He was driven out of Thessalonica. He was rejected in Athens. He was jailed in Philippi. He was apprehended in Caesarea. On one occasion, as we follow Paul through his life, Paul was taken to Rome as a prisoner, and he was shipwrecked on the way. He was imprisoned. He was released, and then he was imprisoned again, and then locked in a dungeon in Rome. And finally, he was martyred, just to name a few of his life experiences. And if you were to ask me, that doesn't really sound like he was having an easy time of it. That doesn't sound like he was living the dream, enjoying an easy life. And Paul didn't thank God for an easy life, for an easy time. And I wonder this morning, what kind of handicaps are you struggling with in your life right now? And dare I even suggest it, have you ever thanked God for any of those things? Maybe you're struggling with some kind of a health-related issue. Maybe you're struggling with some kind of thorn in the flesh, some hardship only you know about. And I wonder, is God's grace sufficient? Is God's grace enough? And is God made great by your weakness? So first, Paul didn't thank God for the possession of material abundance. Second, Paul didn't thank God for an easy time, for an easy life. Here's the third one. Paul didn't thank God for any superior standing among others. He didn't. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Paul didn't thank God for any special recognition. Paul didn't thank God for any lofty honor that people showed him. I mean, if there was ever a man who had the right pedigree, right, it was the Apostle Paul. He had the right credentials. He'd been circumcised on the eighth day. He was an Israelite. His roots were from the elite tribe of Benjamin. From day one, he was a strict and devout adherent to God's law. He was a fiery defender of the purity of religion, and he was a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. Now, that's an impressive list on anybody's radar. But you know what Paul had to say about all those things? He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, all those things I thought that were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my master. Everything else is insignificant. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 9, I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally. And listen to verse 10. He says, I gave up everything so that I could handle, or so that I could experience his resurrection power, and so that I could be a partner in his suffering. From time to time, Jesus would tell stories to illustrate what he was trying to explain to the people that would come and listen to him speak. And on one occasion, Jesus told a story specifically directed to those people who were smug and who were pleased with themselves over their moral performance and who looked down their noses at the commoners, at the common people. In fact, we're doing a little bit of scrambling around in our New Testament this morning, but if you have your Bible open, just flip over to Luke 18 because it would help to take a look at the story. In Luke 18, Jesus sets the stage, and he begins by saying in verse 11 that there were two men who went to the temple to pray. You know the story. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector, tax man. And right away, I want you to notice that these men came from really opposing lifestyles, okay? They came from the opposite sides of the tracks, so to speak. And the Pharisees in Jesus' day were regarded as the educated and respectful men, while the tax collectors were seen as the scum of the earth, all right? And in this story, Jesus actually lets us listen in on their individual prayers. Unusual story, really, when you think about it, but it is one that Jesus told nonetheless. And I have a feeling that any Pharisee that was present that day would probably feel a little picked on, okay? I have a sneaking suspicion that any Pharisee present felt like Jesus was taking them to task. And in Jesus' story, the Pharisee prays first. He says in verse 11, oh God, I thank you. Now that's a good place to start, wouldn't you agree? That's a good beginning. But listen to the rest of the prayer. The Pharisee prays, oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Whoops. Like robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like that low-down scum of the earth tax man over there. After all, and he goes on in verse 12, I fast twice a week, I tithe on all my income. I'm doing all the right things here, God. By the way, what did you notice about this man's prayer? This guy, without a doubt, had an eye problem, right? Eye this, eye that. You see, his heart wasn't overflowing with gratitude. He wasn't thankful for what God had done for him. As a matter of fact, he was so inward focused that he couldn't see past himself. I wonder, have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever brought things to God's attention that were purely selfish or that were maybe even prideful or arrogant instead of expressions of praise or expressions of gratitude? But you see, that's exactly where the Apostle Paul was coming from. That was his focus. His was a positive focus. And you know, that ought to be our focus as well. So let's change from the negative to the positive. Let me read the words of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again. Paul writes these words. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, the first positive thing that catches my eye are the words, "the will of God." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I wonder this morning, do you understand what the Apostle Paul is saying to us this morning? He's really saying, in spite of all the things that you're up against right now, in spite of all the things that you're experiencing, in spite of all the things that have happened in the past, keep being grateful. Continue being grateful. In other words, don't allow any incident, any event, any calamity that you run into, or even any other experience, extinguish your spirit of gratitude. You see, Thanksgiving Day is not just a day that has been set aside so that we can cram in all of our gratitude into one day and then take God's gifts for granted the rest of the year. Somebody once suggested that we got it all wrong. They figured that we should turn Thanksgiving Day into a day of grumbling and complaining so that we could spend the other 364 days in Thanksgiving. Think about it. Benjamin Franklin once recalled a childhood experience that he had that brought a rather sharp rebuke from his father. You see, in their home, situated near the kitchen table, was an old pork barrel. And every day from that old pork barrel, Benjamin's father would take out the necessary meat for that day's needs. And then as the family seated themselves down for a meal, his father would always pray the prayer, "We thank you, Father, for the meat you have set before us." And one day, young Ben suggested, "Father, why don't you just say one prayer over the entire barrel and get it over and done with? Then we don't have to thank the Lord every meal for every piece of meat that we eat." But you know, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? You know, we flip a switch on the wall and we expect light to happen, right? I mean, when was the last time you thought about where that electricity came from? Right? We turn on the faucet in the kitchen or in a bathroom and the water flows. I read a good story this week about three travelers who had spent their entire lives in the desert. I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like, but these men had never seen a tree. They'd never seen a rose. They had never seen a flowing river in their native land. And on one occasion, they were invited to travel to France, and while they were there, they were shown a waterfall in the French Alps. As you can imagine, coming from the desert, to them, water was worth its weight in gold. For them, to watch this extravagance was overwhelming. As these men watched, the guide was ready to move on, but they insisted on waiting. And finally, the guide asked, "Why? What's the holdup here? Why are you waiting?" And the men replied, "We're waiting for the falls to come to an end." You see, to them, it was simply beyond their comprehension that God should so madly supply water. and that this water had been running ceaselessly for hundreds of years. When the men headed back to their homeland, they said very little about the waterfalls because no one would believe them anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a second positive thing that catches my attention in Paul's life. You see, whenever I read through the words of encouragement that Paul wrote to the church, I've discovered that whenever Paul gets the chance, he takes inventory of his circumstances and he comments on them. In fact, Paul systematically takes the time to include an inventory of his circumstances and things he has reason to be grateful for. Now, that's a great trait, isn't it? That's a fantastic habit, I think. That's something most of us would benefit from, I'm sure. So let me walk you through a number of them. Why? So that I can set the stage for an opportunity in just a few minutes to allow you to express your thanks. If you're taking notes, you might want to write down some of the passages so that you can go back and investigate them further later on. So first of all, Paul was thankful for daily bread. Over in Acts 27, verse 35, there is a situation where Paul has just come through the ringer. And towards the end of the book of Acts, Paul is a prisoner. He has appealed to see Caesar after having spent a long time in prison, and in a series of events, that request was granted. So Paul and a number of other prisoners began that long trek over land and sea to reach Rome. And at one point, Paul warns the centurion who was in charge of delivering him to Rome that if they were to continue on their journey, there would be a great loss to ship and cargo. But as you know, Paul's advice is largely ignored. They set sail, and before long, a great storm hits them, and for 2 weeks, they are tossed about. And in fact, by this time, everyone on board has lost hope that any of them would ever survive. But Paul calls everyone together in verse 33, where he says, for the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense, and you have not eaten anything. Now, I urge you to take some food. You will need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. And then if you look down to verse 35, after he said this, Paul took some bread and he gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. Isn't that amazing? In the middle of a serious storm of life, Paul stops to be thankful for daily bread. Here's the second one. Paul was thankful for people of faith. Over in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Here's a third one. Paul was thankful for deliverance from anxiety. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. A fourth thing that Paul was thankful for his deliverance from the trials of temptation. In Romans 7, Paul speaks at length about the conflict of the two natures in him and in all of us. He talks about the warfare between the life of the flesh and spirit. And then Paul asks in verse 24, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he replies in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's a fifth thing that Paul was thankful for the memory of friends. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here's a sixth thing. Paul was thankful for God's kindness in trouble. Acts 28. Luke records the last stages of his trip to Rome where Paul was going there for his first imprisonment. As they neared the city, Paul and company is met by friends, and Luke writes, when Paul saw these friends, he thanked God and took courage. Number seven, Paul was thankful for God's gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, God's gift of Jesus Christ. So folks, I wonder this morning, what are you thankful for? What blessings are you counting this morning? And what kind of things are you grateful for? You see, gratitude is an experience. It's not some kind of theory. It's not a formula. It's not even a deed. Gratitude has to spring from our hearts because that's where it exists. Paul might have been in prison without his cloak, without his books, without his freedom, but he was never without his gratitude. You see, gratitude helps us over the hills and mountains of life. Gratitude makes our loads lighter. Gratitude makes our sorrows and our sadness brighter. And gratitude turns our griefs into victory. Our griefs into comfort, our defeats into victory, our doubts into assurance, our fears into faith, hate into love, darkness into light, death into life, and our mourning into joy. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be sitting here thinking, but how is that even possible? Well, because gratitude grows as it's given away. And if we express it, we'll see it increase. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for this opportunity to just take a step back and reflect on our own lives and our relationship with how grateful, how thankful we are or aren't. And so, God, I pray that not just this day, not just this Thanksgiving weekend, but that each and every day we would learn to cultivate our gratitude, our thankfulness, into each day of our lives. And that as we express those things, as we verbalize them, as we make a point of like Paul, of living out that thankfulness, that gratitude, that, Lord, it would grow in our lives in such a way that it would affect those around us. And God, this morning, we say thank you. Thank you. For the fact that you are God, for the fact that you are good, for the fact that you are faithful, for the fact that you are trustworthy, for the fact that you will walk beside us no matter what, whatever situation we will ever find ourselves in, that you are totally trustable and that as you walk beside us, you will give us the wherewithal to weather whatever storms, whatever situations we will face in this life. And for that, I thank you in Jesus' name.